Morning. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. We'll read verses 26 through 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine were feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That was a doozy of a story, wasn't it? That is a wild, wild story. And there's a lot to dissect here, and there's a lot of different contexts that we can bring to this story to help us understand it. We were talking in Sunday school about how if we just read it, it's just that. A wild story that is difficult at times to understand. So what might we gather from this story? How might we understand what is happening here, what Luke wants us to know, and then how might we apply it to our lives? I was serious with the kids. It's all going to come down to not being afraid of Christ's greatness and being ready to do something with it. But let's try to get there for a second. The first thing that's important to know in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus travels a lot. And he gets in a boat and he goes across this lake. He goes across the Sea of Galilee back and forth from time to time. Now, this was the railroad tracks of the day. You guys remember the railroad tracks? Those folks over there were different from us over here on this side of the railroad tracks, okay? The lake is the railroad tracks. Over there were the Gentiles. They were not the Jewish people. They were not God's people. They were Gentiles. They were others. And over here were the Jewish folks, God's people, Jesus' people. And so as you read in the Gospel of Luke, it's important to realize which side of the lake Jesus is on. And Luke does some things like tell us he's in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. So it's a 50-50 shot. Is Jesus with the Gentiles or is Jesus with the Jews? You can guess. Gentiles. Jesus is with them. He's on the other side of the lake. He is with the Gentiles, these folks that if anybody's not going to understand what Jesus is there to do, it's going to be them. And as soon as Jesus steps onto the land, Luke is very descriptive here, as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. Whew. So every now and then I watch old clips of Muhammad Ali fighting. You ever do that? Dude had he could talk and he'd rile you up and he'd get everybody excited about the fight. You should go listen to him. It's pretty good. He's a great poet. I imagine this demon like one of those fighters that Ali is preparing to fight, just coming up. Who are you, Jesus? What do you have to, why are you here? As soon as Jesus has stepped onto the land, we've created this conflict. This man with a demon meets him. You also get the picture that maybe even before Jesus had left the boat, he's commanding this demon to leave the man. But the demon is not having it. And then Luke goes into this great description of just how demonic this man is. Now, anytime Luke is talking about demons, we have to imagine the spiritual realm. Jesus is the Son of God. He is a very important person here on earth, but Luke always tries to show Jesus having this authority over the demons, over the spiritual realm. This man that Jesus meets in the country of the Gerasenes is like the final boss. This is a demon among demons. Legion, Luke tells us, this man, these demons identified themselves. Many demons. A legion in the Roman army was a sort of a troops of 100 different soldiers. This man is not simply possessed by a demon. He's possessed by many, many demons, an entire legion. He is so demonic, they try to chain him up. He's so demonic, he's not wearing any clothes. You ever see somebody not wearing clothes out in the wild? That's a scary, yeah, you don't want to do it. Something's wrong. Turn and go the other way. This is not how we make friends, right? One thing that separates us from the animals and makes us God's people are our clothes. This man is so possessed by these demons, he's not wearing any clothes. The people are so afraid of him that they try to tie him up, bound him with chains. So demonic, he breaks free. He doesn't live in a house. He lives in the tombs. Ugh. Not only is he demonic, not only is he a Gentile, he is so out there and so bad. Even the Gentiles don't want him. They kick him out of town. Go live out there. We don't care how dirty it is in those tombs. You can't be here. This is a man who is so far outside the social norms and realms. He's hurting. In Sunday school, we decided that this man was dead. All of these social things, this is a dead, deceased man. Whatever he was as a child, whatever he was as a young man growing up, those things no longer exist because he is possessed by this legion of demons. He's gone. He's out there. Have we made that clear? This is the guy nobody wants to deal with. And Jesus steps out onto the land before he goes to speak or preach to anyone else. And he goes to that man, the man that no one else wanted, and he offers him healing. This is the first thing that we need to understand about this story and what Luke is trying to tell us about Jesus. Jesus does not shy away from the people that we think ought to be shied away from. Jesus confronts and goes right to those people that the rest of the country and the society and the town has cast aside. First and foremost, Jesus goes to this man. But then also, Luke wants us to know that Jesus is in control. It's not simply a demon, but this legion, these hundreds of demons, Jesus has power over them. So much power, he grants the demons to do what they want to do. The demons in the gospel always are the first ones to recognize Jesus. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Those demons know Jesus on sight. Jesus has been around. They know him. They beg, please do not send us back into the abyss. The abyss, the place where the demons reside, that place where the demons have come from. Don't send us back there. Jesus says, okay. What would you have me do with you then? Well, there's some pigs over here. You familiar with the kosher laws of the Jews? Pigs are bad. very bad, unclean. We don't want anything to do with the pigs and the swine. These demons, they don't care. They're demons. Send us into the swine. Jesus says, all right, go do what you want to do. I won't send you into the abyss. You can go where you want to go. Go into those swine, that herd of pigs. Pigs are possessed. And they down the hill, drown themselves. The demons ask Jesus not to send them to the abyss. Jesus allows them to go where they want to, and they end up in the abyss anyways. Jesus is so powerful, the demons can get their way and still end up where Jesus would have them. I think sometimes we forget just how powerful Jesus is. We live in a modern age. We're able to see somebody perhaps like this man that Luke says was possessed by demons, and we've got a list of ailments that might be bothering him. Autism, bipolar, all of these different things that make our minds take over our bodies. Our bodies take over our minds. And maybe we say, well, that's what happened. And we forget that Christ is still doing powerful, important things through our modern medicine. And we forget those things. Jesus is still in control. Jesus is still a powerful person. Jesus still has dominion over this spiritual realm. So much so that the man that nobody wanted, the man that was outside of humanity itself with no clothes, living in the tombs, when Jesus is done with him, he's clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And the crowd's reaction, I think, is what's most important to us. Now, these were not wild pigs. We decided that in Sunday school. These were pigs that were looked over by a shepherd, the swine herders. These were somebody's pigs. They belonged to the people. And now they're gone. They're upset. You guys have jobs? Can you imagine Jesus coming into town? Yes, he's healing somebody, but your source of income, your source of food, you watch be driven off into the abyss. They're upset. They run off and tell everybody, this guy, he's taken our pigs. He's done something, and they've driven themselves off this cliff. The entire town comes to hear the story, and they see that man that was once dead, that man who was beyond his mind, who was not wearing any clothes, clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and they're afraid because they know something incredible and powerful has happened, and they're not ready for it. They don't understand it. What is this thing that we have witnessed? What is this thing that has happened? You are someone that we don't want here. That's too much divinity. That's too much power. Please leave us and go. What does Jesus do? He leaves. He listens to the people. If you're not ready for me, if you don't want me here, then I'll leave. The man wants to go. Of course the man wants to go. Jesus has brought him back to life. Jesus has restored all the things about him that set him aside from the rest of the community. He's back. He's healed. Of course he wants to go with Jesus. But Jesus says, no, go back to your home. I've not healed you to follow me around everywhere. I've healed you to go back to your life. Go home. You no longer have to live in those tombs. You no longer have to get sunburned, not wearing any clothes and stuck with bugs. I've been at camp. I'm looking forward to going back to camp. There's a lot of bugs. I'm sure the man had a bunch of bugs. You are made whole. Go live your life. But make sure you tell folks what happened. This Gentile becomes one of the first apostles, telling Jesus' story and the gospel of what Jesus can do. It's in the next chapter that Jesus sends off the disciples. Before Peter and James and John and all the others go out into the community to gather the harvest for Jesus, to prepare people for what Jesus is going to do. This Gentile is already telling folks, everyone he meets throughout the city, what Jesus has done for him. This man that no one wanted, this Gentile outside of God's people, is the first apostle. This man that no one wanted anything to do with, that Jesus walks right up to, heals and makes whole and alive again, goes forth and spreads that gospel. I think Jesus is still doing that today. I think that Jesus is still out there with the folks that nobody else wants. The people that are dirty, that we think are dirty, that we think don't belong here, that we back away when they're walking down the aisle at Walmart towards us, that we see on the corner and roll the windows up. Jesus is still with those folks. Jesus is still offering healing and bringing them back to life. There are groups of people that are helping them, real disciples and apostles who are helping Christ in that work. And sometimes the rest of us are like this crowd and this city. We don't want anything to do with it. We're not ready for those lives that have been changed to be a part of us. Sometimes we're like the swineherders. When Jesus comes and heals people, when Jesus' gospel that turns this world upside down, sometimes it hurts the other economies around it. This world that is set up a particular way that Jesus says, no, we're going to do things different, it hurts our pocketbooks. And we say, we're not ready for that. Go, leave us. We don't want our world turned upside down because it's working pretty good for us. And Jesus says, all right, I've offered healing. You can hear that story. Maybe, perhaps, when you're ready, I'll come back. Jesus offers healing to those who need it most. And too often, us who are less in need of it shy away. We don't want things to change. We don't want things to be any different. We just want our sheep back. Jesus continues to heal and offer a changed world. We've got to be ready for it. We've got to help it come along. We've got to be the people that Christ needs us to be to make a difference. Hopefully we're ready. Hopefully we can step up. Hopefully we can be Jesus' hands and feet to offer that healing, to be ready for a changed world. Maybe we're like the crowd and the Gerasene country folk that just want to be left alone. Amen.